Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim daf Kuf Ches. We left off on daf Kuf Zayin and Beis. We're going to pick up from Rava Havashasi Chamra, four lines from the bottom of the page. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, also anonymously Lila Nishmas, Rabbi Kelmer Zetzal, also by Maish and Devorah Smith for Refuah Shleima, for their daughter Tova Miriam, Bas Devorah Mindel, also in memory of Avi Weiss, Avram Yaakov ben Meshulam Dov, Olav HaShalom, who recently passed away, from his friends of the BMT class of 1991. Also by Judy and Mark Frankel and family Lila Nishmas, their dear son and brother, Moshe Yehuda, Zichrono Livracha, Ben Meir Eliyahu, and Shem Shav Naliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So today is one of the most packed dapim in Arvei Pesachim, where we're going to talk about many inyanim that relate to the Seder, specifically Haseba and the Dalet Koso. So first we're going to finish the discussion about the previous daf, about the Yisr to eat on Arvei Pesach, and what types of things will draw a person's appetite versus closing a person's appetite. The Gemara is then going to talk about the Halachos of Haseba, and particularly three issues relating to Haseba. First, which parts of the Seder require Haseba? Second, how exactly does one position one's body for Haseba? And third, who is required to do Haseba? And then the Gemara is going to talk about the mitzvah to drink, the Dalet Kosos, including who's obligated in that, the specifics of the wine, does it have to be a particular color, does it have to be diluted, so, some specific halachos related to the wine, and the Gemara is going to tell us about different things that they would do that will go into tomorrow's of different things that they would do in order to keep children awake and asking questions on the Seder night. So let's begin. We are at Rava Havashasi Chamra, four lines from the bottom of the page. Rava Havashasi Chamra Kulim El Yam De Pischa. Rava used to drink wine all day on Erev Pesach. Ki Echi Did Nigre Lelibe Din Echel Matzah Tvei Lo'urta, because that would whet his appetite and it would cause him to be able to eat more, to eat matzah in with more b'teyav when it came time for Achilas Matzah that night. Where do I get the idea that drinking a lot of wine will cause someone to be more desirous of matzah and to be able to eat it more l'teyavon? Because the Mishnah tells us later on in this very perek, in between the first and the second kosos of the Dal Kosos, or between the second and the third kosos, imratzo lishtos yishta. If you want to drink more wine, you're allowed to. But bein shlish between the third and the fourth coast, you're not allowed to drink any more wine, because that's going to look like you're being mosif ala kosos, and you're supposed to have dalet kosos. So at that point in the suda already, it's going to look like you're being mosif ala kosos after birch samazon. So Rav explains, how do we see from that mishnah that drinking wine does not fill a person up, but rather to the contrary, it makes a person more hungry to be able to eat the mitzvah salayla, the matzah properly. V'yamrit misatzoid. If wine were to actually fill a person up, amayishta, then why would it be mutter to drink between kosos 1 and 2, or between kosos 2 and 3? Hakach l'matzah achilagasa. By doing that, you're going to make it that when you eat the matzah, it's going to be an achilagasa, because you're not going to be hungry for the matzah. Elishmamina migregar. From the fact that we allow drinking yayin, specifically between the first and second kosos, we see clearly that migregar, that it does in fact help a person develop a stronger appetite. The problem is, the Rishonim point out, Tosos over here, Dibra Maschil Ella points out that the Gemara Maseches Brachos and Daf Lamed Hayam Beis tells us that Yayin is Masbia. So says Tosos, Adam Rin Perkes and Varchin, De Chamra Soid Umisameach, Mifarishasam De Tuva Garir Porta Soid. It all depends how much you drink. Ironically, if you drink a little bit, that will fill you up. It's going to be harder to eat. But when you drink a lot, it will make you very hungry and you will be able to eat. That's how Tosos understands. The Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz adds that you see that wine is gorer and it's not masbia, because meaning dafka over here, because we're talking about drinking a lot of wine. Meaning Tosfos had to make the chilek that it's that when you drink a lot, that's when it's going to make you very thirsty. First of all, because that was the story with Rava, that he drank all day, so it sounds like he drank a lot. But also by definition, we're talking about the night of the Seder where you're drinking a lot, because we're talking about you drinking dalet kosos and then you're adding more in between. 15, and we're saying that that's okay. So it's a minimum of 5 kozos. That's a lot of wine for a person to drink, and we're assuming that it's going to make him more hungry. Rav Sheshes had a different practice. The whole Erev Pesach, he wouldn't eat a thing in order to make sure that he has an appetite for that night. So it says in our name, Rav Sheshes Samluch Mincha Gedola Tanan. Maybe Rav Sheshes holds that when we say you're not allowed to eat on Erev Pesach Samluch Mincha, it's not about Samluch Mincha Ketana that you're not allowed to eat, but rather it's Samluch Mincha Gedola, meaning Samluch Mincha Gedola Umishum Pischahu. When we say those who say you're not allowed to eat Samluch Mincha Gedola hold that the reason you're not allowed to eat in Erev Pesach has nothing to do with eating matzah l'tayavon, that the purpose of the Yisra Achila is so that it won't distract you in the here and now on Erev Pesach from doing your Korban Pesach. So since Korban Pesach is in the afternoon, is the entire afternoon, the Zman of Korban Pesach is the entire afternoon of Erev Pesach, so you're not allowed to eat the entire afternoon, already starting from Samach L'mincha Gedola. That the basis of the Isra of eating on Erev Pesach is because you might get distracted and refrain from bringing Korban Pesach. See, if you held Samach L'mincha Ketana, then it's got nothing to do with Korban Pesach. That's because we're looking ahead to later that evening, and are you going to be able to eat matzah l'tayavon? But if you say Samach L'mincha Gedola, it's a din in Korban Pesach, that you need to be focused on Korban Pesach, and we're afraid you're going to lose that focus if you eat. So Rav Sheshes must have held that to begin with, that the basis for the Yisra Achila in Erev Pesach has to do with it, the Erev Pesach being the Zman of Akravas Korban Pesach. But then why did he ask for eating the whole day? You only bring the Korban Pesach in the afternoon in Erev Pesach. That he also held like that shita, that if one were to bring the Korban Pesach in the morning of Erev Pesach, that would also be kosher. And therefore it turns out that the entire day, already starting from the morning, is the Zman of the Korban Pesach. To kuli yom chazi l'pischa, since the entire day is roy for the Korban Pesach, to savor, because Ben Besera holds that you read the pasuk that tells you the Zman of Akravas HaPesach, it says, Bein Arbayim. What does Bein Arbayim mean? It means Bein Erev De'etmal Le'erev De'idna. It doesn't mean Mishanatu Tzalala Erev, like we learned back at Dafnun Ches. No, it means between the Erev of Etmal, the Erev of yesterday. It looks like the Zoom just conked out. Not sure why that happened. Between the Erev of yesterday and the Erev of right now. If anyone else can get on the Zoom. My phone just conked out. Between the Erev of Etmal and the Erev of today, which means in between those 2 days, which is the all day on Erev Pesach. Now l'shitaso, he held that the Yisra of Achila is totally on Korban Pesach, and if the Korban Pesach can be brought all day, so the Yisra of Achila is going to be nogeya all day long. So now the Rashbam points out that he wasn't around during the days of the Beis HaMikdash. There was no Beis HaMikdash during his time, and nevertheless the Zman Yisra Achila. Thank you very much. The Zman Yisra. We're good. Okay. Unmute. Okay, sorry about that to all the Zoomers. The Zman Yisra Achila was all day long, even though he didn't have a Beis HaMikdash in his time. So Tosfos points out that even though Ben Besera's moda that l'chachila you're not allowed to bring the Korban Pesach in the morning, you're really only supposed to bring the Korban Pesach at night. L'chachila you're not supposed to bring the Korban Pesach in the afternoon. L'chachila you're not supposed to bring it in the morning because of the Yisra of l'sishcha l'chametz dam zivchi. You know, Allah shechts when you still have chametz kayim, when you still have chametz around, which is until Chatzos, but since he holds B'diyevit, it would work on a B'diyevit basis, so the Gemara assumes that Rav Sheshes was machmir al atzmo not to eat from the morning, because that's already considered somewhat the Zman of the Korban Pesach. Says Gemara Amri lo, shiny Rav Sheshes to istinis hava. No, Rav Sheshes is different because Rav Sheshes was an istinis. Di time b'tzafra midi l'orta lo hava mahani le'michle. Nothing to do with Korban Pesach. The reason Rav Sheshes didn't eat all day in Erev Pesach was because he had a very sensitive stomach, and if he would eat something in the morning, then he wouldn't be able to eat anything the rest of the day, including that evening. He would just be stuck. He wouldn't be able to eat anything for the whole evening. So now says the Gemara, "Va'afilu ani shebi Yisrael lo yochal ad sheyasev." The Mishnah had said that even an ani shebi Yisrael should make sure to do haseba. So itmar. So we're going to have 3 different things about haseba. First of all, which parts of the seder require haseba? Second of all, how does one one position one's body when they do a seiba? And third, who is obligated in a seiba? So first things first, when do we do a seiba? Which parts of the Seder? So matzah tzarech a seiba. When one eats matzah on the night of the Seder, you need to do a seiba. Which matzah? So Rashi and the Rashbam are going to say on Kuf Yotas and Beis that the Ikar Mitzvah's matzah is the afikomen. The matzah they eat before that is only Rishus, it's not the real chova, and Mela, the requirement of a seiba is by the matzah of the afikomen. Tosfos, in Dibra Maskel Mai, says that you should be masiv by the kezayis that you say the alachilas matzah on, and by the afikomen. From the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah Berkzayin Alachas, it sounds like you don't need a seiba by the afikomen, only by the first kezayis of matzah. The Trumas Hadesh and Simon Kufman and Beis, and the Psakim is medayik, that from all of them you see that the kezayis of Hamotzi certainly doesn't require a seiba, meaning the only possibilities of when you need a seiba is the alachilas matzah kezayis and the afikomen kezayis. But by the Hamotzi kezayis, you certainly do not require a seiba. However, the Prima Gadim writes, how are you going to determine which kezayis is for the Hamotzi and which is for the achilas matzah? You make Hamotzi and achilas matzah, and then you eat two kezayisim. So you can't know which one is which, and the Mela, you should eat them both Behaseba. That, of course, assumes, like those Rishonim, that you need two kezayisim. Some Rishonim assume, no, you don't need two kezayisim, you eat one kezayis of matzah. Because the Machlokas is, Rav Shachter explains, in Eretz HaTzvi, whether there's a separate mitzvah su'uda on the night of the Seder, and then also you have all of the mitzvahs of Achila, or no, the mitzvah of Su'udas Yom Tov is defined by the mitzvahs Achila of that night. So that one kezayis of matzah is the mitzvah of Suda and the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. But anyway, that's the discussion that the Rishonim have. So when you eat the matzah, you require a seba. What does it mean you require a seba? What if you didn't do a seba? So Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Tafayin Beis, Siv Zayin, that you have to eat again. You got to do it again with a seba. So the Rama writes that nowadays we're somech b'dievet on the sheet of the Ravya. The Ravya holds that nowadays we don't do a seba anymore because it doesn't make sense. Haseba is not no longer a derech eretz. It's just a highly uncomfortable way to eat for a person to do a seba. So we're somech on the shita of the Rav Yah. The Prima Gadim in Siman Tav Pei Hei writes that according to Tosos Masechta Sukkah Dav Gimel, Tosos there writes, the Gemara has a comment that a sukkah really, if a person sits in a sukkah with Shulchan B'Soch Habayis, and the Shulchan is in his house, but he's in the sukkah, that really, strictly speaking, Maker Adin on a Daraisa level, he's Yotze the mitzvah. But the Gemara says that there's a gzei, we're afraid he might end up sitting where his table is, and therefore the Gemara has a comment. If this is the way you've always been yotze the mitzvah of sukkah, you were never yotze the mitzvah of sukkah. If you sit that way with the shulchan of besoch habayis, or you sit in the sukkah that doesn't fit your shulchan, you sit in the sukkah that's vav al vav instead of zayin al zayin tefachim, so there's no room for the shulchan. Lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. So Tosfos is bothered by the kasha. Lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. Midaraisa, you're absolutely mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. How can you say lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha? So the Ran over there says lo kiyamta mitzvah min amuvchar. That's how the Ritva says, that whole school of Rishonim. So it doesn't mean you're not mekayim the mitzvah at all. But Tosfos says no, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. You are not mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. Meaning, whenever there's a din d'oraisa and the Rabbanan tell you how to best fulfill that din d'oraisa, even though the Rabbanan are adding extra requirements in terms of how to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa, you're not even yotzi yurchiv on a d'oraisa level if you don't do it the way the Rabbanan tell you to do it. So says the Prima Gadim, if you assume like that shita of Toso, said if a person does a mitzvah d'oraisa in a way that is not rabbinically approved, he's not even yotzi yurchiv d'oraisa. So if one eats matzah below a seba, he's not even yotzi matzah on a d'oraisa level. He's not even mekayim the mitzvah matzah on a d'oraisa level. Whereas the Ritva and the Ran would say, yes, he is. It's just that you're not doing it the best way. The best possible way would be to do it the way the Rabbanan want you to do it. So matzah requires a seba. What about maror? Maror ain't tzarech a seba. Maror is a zecha to the avdus, so you shouldn't act like b'nei chorin while you're eating maror, so maror does not require a seba. Yayin, what about when you're drinking the dalet kosos? So conflicting reports. Itmar mishved Rav Nachman tzarech a seba, v'itmar mishved Rav Nachman ain't tzarech a seba. We have conflicting reports of what Rav Nachman held. Either Rav Nachman said yes, or he said no. V'lo pligi. Habitati kasi kamay, habitati kasi besray. It's not really a conflict in terms of what Rav Nachman held. It's just that Rav Nachman said two different things. He spoke first, at one point he spoke about the first two kosos, at another point he spoke about the last two kosos, and he required a seba for one and not the other, for either the first two kosos or the last two. The problem is, we don't know which two he required a seba for, and which two he did not require a seba for. So, armilo lahagisa, varmilo lahagisa. There are reports in either direction. Some say it that he required for the first two and not the last two. Others say he required a seba only for the last two kosos, not the first two. I'm a little like, some say that he dafka required a seba for the first two kosos, dafru to come as chalul al-cheres, because that's when it was happening. First two kosos is when we're telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Gvulas Mitzrayim. So that's where we express the sense of cheres. But trei kosi basroi lo ba'ya seba, by the last two kosos, what? By the birch samazon, by halal, you don't need a seba, because my dahava hava, the story's already over. It already happened. So when you're not talking about the gula anymore, it's not necessary to do a seba. But others say, no, adraba. It's dafka the last two kosos that require a seba, because that's at that moment where we are already free. That every Seder night we're supposed to see ourselves as if we're leaving Mitzrayim. When have we left already? It's by the last two kosos that we've already left, and we are then free. So then we can feel free to lean. But trei kosi kamay lobo, I say, but you don't lean the first two kosos. Da'akati avad mayinu ka'amar, because chayvad m'liras asatzmo. We're talking about avad mayinu. We're talking about how we're servants in Mitzrayim. Sa'asha dit marachi vit marachi. But since there are these alternate traditions, did Rav Nachman say it's the first two that require or the last two that require? So we paskin idividi bo aseba. We do aseba for all dalit kosos. That all four kosos require haseba. Aye, haseba is only a din midrabanan, so shouldn't we apply a principle savik drabanan lakula? So that's the famous kasha of the Ran, that we should say savik drabanan lakula. What's the Gemara saying over here? I don't know if I need to haseba by the first two kosos. I don't know if I have to do this mitzvah midrabanan. I don't know if I have to do haseba by the last two kosos. I don't know if I have to do this mitzvah midrabanan. So shouldn't I say savik drabanan lakula and I should not require haseba at all? So says the Ran, a couple of answers. First, the Ran suggests, yeah, savik drabanan the cool is if it's a big tircha to be machmir. But what's the big deal? Just lean. Leaning is pretty easy. So whenever it's very easy to fulfill, to be machmir, even on a safek drabanan, we're going to be machmir if it's really easy to be machmir. But then the Ran has a more fascinating answer, where he says that you're not going to say safek drabanan lakula when applying safek drabanan lakula across the board will land you with for sure not being mekayim the takana midrabanan. Meaning, if you know betaras vadai that there's the takana drabanan to do a seba by some kosos, and you're going to apply some drabanan lakula, you're going to end up not doing a seba by any of the kosos, and that's for sure a violation of the din drabanan. Memela, you're going to say to do a seba by all dalit kosos. The problem with that Ran is that it seems to be a stira to what the Ran writes in Maseches Megillah, because in Maseches Megillah the Ran asks the same kasha on Kriyas HaMegillah. What if you have a city that Savik Mekavis Chom Mimos Yishu Benun, Savik Eina Mekavis Chom Mimos Yishu Benun? You don't know if you're supposed to be Megillah on Yudalit or Tezvav. So you read it Dafka on Yudalit. You read Dafka on Yudalit. Ask the Ran, read neither. Savik Drabanan Lakula. You should read neither on Yudalit nor on Tezvav. So the Ran says, no, you can't say Savik Drabanan Lakula, because then you're not going to read at all, and you're going to be Oker Takanas Chachamim. You're not going to do what the Chacham want. And whenever saying Savik Drabanan Lakula is going to land you without fulfilling the mitzvah midrabanan on a Vaday level that you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah midrabanan, then you always go with the first one. Then you just take the first one. So we do Yudalit. So the Mishnah Lamelech raises the stira. Over here, the Ran says that whenever it's going to land you with no mitzvah midrabanan, you're machmir on both ends. And in Maseches Megillah, in a very similar type of situation, the Ran says whenever it's going to land you with no mitzvah midrabanan, you're machmir on the first and not the second. So Mishnah Lamelech says, there's a big difference between the Shaila Megillah and the Shaila over here. When it comes to Megillah, let's say we were to, let's take here. When it comes to the Dalet Kosos, let's say we were to say, okay, so we're all going to lean for the first two kosos. And let's say we guessed wrong, that Rav Nachman really held we're supposed to lean for the last two kosos. Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael is in the same boat. So all of Klal Yisrael has the same suffix, and all of Klal Yisrael will be leaning for only the first two kosos, and all of Klal Yisrael will still not be fulfilling the Takana Midrabanan of leaning for the last two kosos. When it comes to Megillah, you have this city that's suffix Mukheves Chama, suffix not Mukheves Chama, Mimos Yeshua Ben Nun. Let's say they guessed wrong, and really they should have been leaning, and they should have been reading the Megillah on Tezvav. The Takanas Yudalit is still Chai V'Kayam, the Takanas Tezvav is still Chai V'Kayam. There are most cities in the world are still good. The Yudalit cities are still reading Yudalit Tezvav. This city has a problem. This city is not sure if they're fulfilling the Takana properly. For that, we can say just do the first and not the second. That's the Mishnah Lamelech's Mahalich. So based on that Mishnah Lamelech, the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva where someone asked the Chasam Sofer that he wasn't sure what day he had yard site. It used to be communication wasn't instantaneous. You wouldn't find out. So someone was learning in a yeshiva that was on a different continent. It took him 4 months on a boat to get there. So by the time he got the message that his father died, he didn't know exactly what day it was, and he had a suffix whether it was a particular day or the day after, whether it was Dalit or Hey Iyar was his father's yard site. He wasn't sure, so he wanted to know what day to fast, because the practice in Shulchan Aruch is one supposed to fast on a yard site. So he didn't know what day to observe the yard site. So says the Chasam Sofer, it's an often a Mishnah Lamelech, that whenever you're dealing with a situation where your failure to do it is going to blow up the whole thing, it's going to ruin everything, so then you have to be machmir on both days. But when your failure to do it is not going to ruin the whole yard site, it's only going to be your issue, but the yard site is still going to be a yard site, so then you're only machmir on the first day. So he says, so the Chasam Sofer says, it depends. Do you have siblings who are aware of the day of the yard site? If you have siblings back home who are aware of the day of the yard site is going to be chai v'kayim, the yard site is going to be fine. It's just you have a suffix. So then you're in the category of the Ran and Maseches Megillah. You only need to be machmir on the first day. But if you're the only one that's observing this yard site, so the whole yard site hinges on you. So if you guess wrong, the whole thing is going to be messed up. So then you're in the territory of the Ran and Maseches Psachim, and you need to be machmir on both kosos. There's a comment of the Chacham Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Kluger has in the beginning of Hilchas Chanukah, where he deals with the famous kasha of why is it that we have 8 days of Chanukah, there was enough oil for one day. So he suggests a very fascinating idea based on this run. He says that they knew that there were 7 days of miraculous lighting and one day that was natural. They just weren't sure. Did the Neis Shel Teva burn the first day and then the next 7 days were all Shemit Shel Neis? Shemit Shel Teva the first day and then Shemesh Shel Neis for the next 7 days? Or did Shemesh Shel Neis burn for the first 7 days and Shemesh Shel Teva burnt on the eighth day? So they knew that there should only really be 7 days, but they weren't sure that whether the first day should not be a Yom Tov because that was Shemesh Shel Teva, or the last day should not be a Yom Tov because that was Shemesh Shel Teva. So what are you going to say? Savik Drabban and Lukula. But if you say Savik Drabban and Lukula, you're only going to have 6 days, because you're going to say Savik Drabban and Lukula on day one, Savik Drabban and Lukula on day eight, and you know that there are 7 days. So based on this run, they had to be machmir on both ends because they had a savik drabban lekula. That's Rav Shlomo Kluger. It's one of the 500 answers to that kasha. Is that that answer that Rav Shlomo Kluger has in Shulchan Aruch? So anyway, so this is about haseba. So do you need haseba for the first two kosos, the last two kosos? So we do it all. We do for all four kosos. Now the Gemara discusses. Okay, how do you do haseba? How does one position one's body? Praktan, if a person lies on his back, lo shmei haseba. That's not called haseba at all. Hasebis yamin, lo shmei haseba. A person leaning on his right side, not called a seba. Not only is it not called a seba because when you lean on your right side, because it's uncomfortable, you're going to need to eat with your right hand. So if you're leaning on your right side, it's going to be impossible to eat. But not only that, it's also dangerous because the way the human anatomy is, that there's a higher risk of choking if you lean on your right side. Whether that's true, not true, okay, whatever. But the point is, that's what the assumption is. That if you lean on the right side, it's going to be a higher choking risk. So the Rush writes, major nafkamina, between the two reasons of why it is that you don't lean on your right side. Is it to free up your strong hand to eat, or is it because of a choking hazard? Says the Rush, nafkamina is if you have a lefty, that a lefty is more comfortable eating with his left hand, so maybe he should lean on his right side. But if it's about a choking hazard, just because a person is left-handed, his internal anatomy is not any different than a right-handed person, and you'd have the same choking hazard. So the Chumash HaDeshin is machria that a lefty lefty should lean on his left side, because of the two considerations, of the two possibilities, one relates to the best way to ritually perform this inyan of aseba, which is halacha, and the other relates to sakana, chamira, sakanta, meisura. So sakana is always going to be more important than isra, and that's what the Rama paskins in some tough ayin bays as well. Prima Gadim points out that b'di'evet, if you leaned on the right side, you're yotze. The Shibalei Aleket disagrees. Shibalei Aleket says that a lefty should lean on his right side, because the ikur sakana is since he's eating with his right hand, and if he's mesav al yamino, he's going to have to bend his body in some weird direction in order to be able to both lean on his right side and eat with his right hand. So that's the whole reason that it's sakana. It's not because of the internal anatomy, it's because of the movements that a person is going to have to make to eat while he's leaning on the side that he's trying to eat with. And therefore he says a lefty should absolutely lean on the other side, because he needs to free up his left hand to eat. But the Bir Halacha says that the Shibalei Aleket is a das yachid, and it's nidche lahalacha. The Marshal writes another nafkamina between the two reasons that the Gemara has over here, that if you hold that the reason is based on sakana, if a person was mesiv liyamin, he's yotzei eschiyuv, he doesn't have to do haseba again. But if you hold that it's lo shma haseba, that it's simply not called haseba when you're mesiv liyamin, then you do have to do haseba again. You didn't do haseba, then you have to, it's like you were ochel b'lo haseba. And remember we said before that if you eat matzah b'lo haseba, you got to eat the matzah again, so then you'd have to eat it again. However, the Pri Chadash says that even based on the reason of sakana, it could be that once the chacham were mesaki, that that's not how you do haseba, because of sakana concerns, that it doesn't fulfill the requirement of haseba, and the person would have to do haseba again anyhow. Okay, says the Gemara, who has to do haseba? Now that we've discussed when to do haseba, and we've discussed how to do haseba, now we discuss who does haseba, which people have to do haseba. So, isha etzel baila, lo baya haseba. A woman who's eating with her husband does not require haseba, and the Rashbam explains, because she's kafuf to the husband, emas baila aleha, and therefore she should not act like royalty. However, the she'ilto says differently. He says it's not the derech of nashim to be mesav. Women are just not comfortable doing aseba. Nafkamina between them is, according to the Rashbam, if a woman doesn't have a husband, she's an almana, she's a grusha, she would have to do aseba. Whereas if you hold that it's not the derech of nashim to do aseba, so the Rosh points out that according to the she'ilto, since it's not the derech, then it doesn't matter whether she's married or unmarried. The Ran writes that the reason a woman doesn't do aseba is because she's busy being mishamish her husband. She's serving and getting up, so it's more of a hassle to get up from a leaning position than it is to get up from a sitting position. She's never sitting at the table long enough to make it worth it to do a seba. So, but we're going to see soon that a shamish is chayiv be seba, even though he's being mishamish his boss. The Rav Shlomo Kluger explains that a shamish, since he has to be mishamish his rabbo, so there's a tzad in the Gemara to say that he doesn't need a seba because emas rabbo alav, but the maskana sa Gemara, he does do a seba. And the reason is because he can eat when he's not with his master. But an isha is always going to eat with her husband. So for that reason, a woman does not require a seba. So isha is by lo baya a seba, for whichever of these reasons, whether she's kafuf to her husband, she's busy being mishamish her husband, it's just not the derech of nashim to do a seba. But says Marvin Misha chashuva yi tzricha a seba. If the woman is an isha chashuva, then an isha chashuva does require a seba, because we assume the husband is not going to be, the Rokeach writes, we assume the husband is not going to be makbid on an isha chashuva. What is an isha chashuva? So different shitos, Rabbeinu Manoach and Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Zayin, on the side of the Rambam, has different possibilities of what an isha chashuva is. Maybe it means a single woman, a woman who doesn't have a husband. So she is the balabast, she's the one that the one that runs the household. Or it could be that she's a Yirei Hashem, she's a basket. So she's an Eishes Chayil, whatever. She's something that's a praiseworthy woman for other reasons. Or it could be that the reason a woman does not require a seba is because she's busy with the preparing of the meal. An Eish Chashuva may be a wealthy woman who has people doing that for her. So a woman on at a hotel program or something is an Eish Chashuva, because the family's able to afford to pay other people to do all the work for them. So maybe that's the definition of an Eish Chashuva. Be that as it may, we say an Eish Chashuva requires requires a seba. So the Mordechai writes in the name of the Tosfos that nowadays all women are an isha chashuva. However you define isha chashuva, your wife is it, right? All women are an isha chashuva nowadays. So the Ramah quotes this, and the Ramah says that the reason women are not knowing to do a seba, even though every woman is an isha chashuva, so why wouldn't they do a seba? So the Ramah writes that nashim nowadays are so mech on the sheet of the Rav Yah that haseba doesn't make any sense anymore. That it doesn't make sense to do a seba because it's not comfortable for anybody to do a seba. So it's straight. Meaning, Medina the Gemara, Nisha does not require a seba. So we undid that because we said everybody's Nisha Chashuva. So now everybody does have to do a seba. Then we went back in the other direction, but the Rav Yah holds that nobody should ever do a seba because it doesn't make sense to do a seba, and women rely on the Rav Yah. So I remember when I was in Yeshiva, they used to say in the name of half the Rosh Yeshiva of YU, they say in the name of Rabbi Grelick, they said in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that why is it that only women are Samech on the Rav Yah? The Rav Yah wasn't talking about women. The Rav Yah said nobody should do a seba. So why are only women Samech on the Rav Yah? So they said a shtickle Torah that there are two dinim in a seba. There's Zecha L'Neis and there's Persume Nisa. Zecha L'Neis means that we want to remember this is how our forefathers would express their Cherus. So when they felt Cherus, they would lean. So we're doing what they would have done. And Persume Nisa is that we're showing Chayav Adam Lir says Atzmo, that we're showing that we now are going L'Cherus. So we're living like free people. The Rav Yah, when he says it doesn't make sense to do a seba nowadays, really only explains why Persume Nisa is not an Inyan nowadays. That it doesn't make sense because Zecha L'Neis would still make sense. That's what they did, so that's what we're going to do. But Persume Nisa, it's not really being mefarsim anything because in the here and now it doesn't make sense to do a seba. So when it comes to men, so the Rav Yah's right. We have no Inyan of Persume Nisa with Haseba, but we still have an Inyan of Zecha L'Neis with Haseba. But when it comes to women, really, Haseba is a mitzvah shazman grama. Women should be pater. Elamai, why are women chayiv? Because afhein hayu ba'osu anes. You look at when we apply afhein hayu ba'osu anes, it's always by persume nisa. It's never by anything that's anything other than persume nisa. So since afhein hayu ba'osu anes is only a mechayiv in persume nisa, it turns out that a woman's entire chiyuv of Haseba is only mishum persume nisa. She never had a chiyuv mishum zecher l'nes. It's only mishum persume Minisa. Oh well, for Persume Nisa, the Rav Yah addresses Persume Nisa and says it no longer applies. The Rav Yah can't take care of Zecha L'Neis, but women were never chayiv in Zecha L'Neis to begin with. So that's why Nashim are knowing to be somich on the Rav Yah and not Anashim. Okay, Ben Eitz Alaviv by Yaseba, a son by his father's table requires a seba. So Yibayil raised the Shaila, Talmud Eitz Al Rabbo Mai. Does the Talmud do a seba when he's by his Rebbe? So Tashim Adam Rabbi Kiavin Beimar, when I was by Rabba, says Abaye, Zaginina Birke Dadad. We used to lean on each other's knees. And then after Rabbi died, Kiasin al-Bei Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef became the Rosh Hashiva. We went to Rav Yosef for the Seder. Amrullah, not Srichisu. He said, you don't need to do a Seba. And since you don't need to, it's also for you to do a seba, because marabcha k'mara shemayim, your marab should be like mara shemayim. That's what we dashen way back on Daf Chav Beis. Es Hashem elokecha tira shemnam suni v'armi nechani amsuni was dorish kalasim shabatora, and he was porish because es Hashem elokecha tira. But then you realize es Hashem elokecha tira the rabbis tamid chachamim. So you have to have marabcha k'mara shemayim. So meisvei asks the Gemara. You're going to tell me that a student by his Rebbe does not do a Seba, but the Brisa tells us, Im hakol adam esav afilu talmid etzel rabo, you have to do a Seba whoever you're with, including your own Rebbe. Sans gemar, kitani b'shulia denagri. No, that's talking about your teacher in some other discipline. You do a Seba even if you're an apprentice by a carpenter, and the person who taught you your trade is with you having the meal, still you do a Seba, but your Rebbe, your Torah Rebbe, then you wouldn't do a seba by your Rebbe. So Yibayilu Shamish Mai, what about the waiter who's serving? So Tashma Dom Rabbi Shimon Levi Hashamish Achol Kzayis Matzah Kshu Mesev Yatzer. Rabbi Shimon Levi taught us that if a Shamish eats a Kzayis Matzah Beheseba, then he's Yotze. So the Diuk is obvious. Mesevin Lo Mesev Lo. That only if he eats Beheseba he's Yotze. But if he didn't eat Beheseba, he would not be Yotze. Shmamina Beheseba. So Shmamina. You see very clearly from there that the Shamish requires Heseba. Once we mention mention Rabbi Shua ben Levi. We'll mention something else Rabbi Shua ben Levi said about the night of the Seder. V'amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Nashim chayavos parba kosos halalu. Women are chayav in these dalet kosos on the night of the Seder, even though it's a mitzvah shazman grami. Here it is, Shafein hayubosa nes. This is one of the three places in Shas that we have afein hayubosa nes. We have it by Ner Chanukah, we have it by Mikra Megillah, and we have it by dalet kosos. All mitzvahs that involve persume nisa. Afein hayubosa nes applies to persume nisa related mitzvahs. Why dalet kosos? So Rashi over here says something unusual. He says that the reason we have dalet kosos is because it says the word kos three times in the pasuk by Paro. The kos Paro biyadav yekach hasanavim ve'eschad osamal kos Paro by the Saramashkim. When he's talking about the dream, he mentions kos three times, and then a fourth kos for brichas hamazon like you always need. So that's why we have four kosos. So all the mafarshim yachronim ask Rashi, you yourself on the Mishnah and Sadi Tesam base told us the more traditional reason why we always assume that we need four kosos, and that is the dalud l'shonos of geula. So now all of a sudden it's a different reason. So the Archadash, he suggests that we need both limudim. From kos paro alone, we would not have known that it has to be done at the night of the Seder. That's just a reason that you do a zecher. That's not a reason to do a dafka on the night of the Seder. We want to do some sort of zecher to kos paro and to the miracle that got Yosef out of the jail. So that's why I need dalud l'shonos of geula to tell me, no, this is about geula. The night we celebrate geula, we should have dalud kosos. If we're only about the dalud l'shonos of geula, though, why yayin? Let it be for matzahs. Let it be for anything. If it's about dalud l'shonos of geula, but dafka we choose yayin because of the time of kos paro. Rosh Hashanah Zalman Arbach explains that maybe the reason we choose yayin is because unlike other foods, the more you eat of it, it's just a quantitative difference. But yayin has this qualitative change, meaning what the second cup of yayin does for you is not the same thing that the first cup of yayin does for you. So we're showing that the stages of geula were qualitatively different as they progressed. It wasn't just a quantitative change. Okay, whatever the reason is, but that's what the Aruch Hadash suggests. So because of afei no yibos anes, women are chayiv in dalud kosos as well. What does it mean afei no yibos anes? So the Rashbam writes, well, if you look in the Gemara in Sota Yud Aleph, it tells us that bischar nashim sidkanios nigalu avaseinim mitzrayim. Afei no yibos anes means they were the ikar anes. It was only because of the women that we were nigal mitzrayim. Tulsa says it's true. The Gemara says that in Sota that it happens to be they were the ikar anes, but it doesn't sound like that's what afhein hayibos anes means. Af means even, that even they were included in this. They don't need to be the ikar nes in order for to be included in the mitzvahs of Pursumi Nisa. They just need to be also included in the nes in order to be included in Pursumi Nisa. Amrav Dimashmala, Arba Kosalal Tzorak Shiei Behen, Kedei Mezigas Kos Yafe. You have to dilute the wine properly. Shasan Chai, if you drink it undiluted, Yotze, you're still Yotze. And we're going to explain each line that we're saying right now. Shasan Vasachas, if you drink it all at one time, Machloks, we've shown him what this means, but let's say it means that you drink all at the same section of the Seder instead of dividing it up over time throughout the course of the Seder. That's how the Rashbam understands it. Rashi understands Basachas means no, you just have one giant kos. Instead, meaning the Rashbam understands you take four kosos in front of you, one, two, three, and you drink four in a row. Whereas Rashi says no, you just pour it into one giant kos. But if you're son Basachas, you are Yotze, and we'll see what you're Yotze. Hishkman on the bottom of the base, so Yotze. And if you don't drink the kos, you give some of it to the other members of your family to drink, you're also Yotze. So now let's analyze each line that we just read. Shasan Chai Yotze, when we say that if you drink it undiluted, you're Yotze. Amravi Yidei Yayin Yotze Yidei Cherus Lo Yotze. You're Yotze, the din of Yayin of drinking Dalet Kosos. But you're not Yotze, the din of Cherus, because it's the wine is not Kashav unless it's Mazug, unless it's properly diluted. Shasan Bevas Achas, if you drink it all at one time, so Rav Amr Yidei Yayin Yotze Yidei Arba Kosos Lo Yotze. So we said, if you drink it all at one time, you're Yotze. What does it mean, you're Yotze? So Rav says that means you're Yotze Yidei Yayin, which the Rishonim understand means Simchas Yom Rosh Bamansen means Simchas Yom Tov. You Yotze the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, but you're not Yotze the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. Hishkamel Nabarim Lebeso Yotze. When we say that if you give to your family to drink, you're Yotze. Amrav Nachman Yitzchak, Vuhudi Ishti Rubatakasa. That's only if you first drank Rov HaKos. If you didn't drink Rov HaKos first, then you're not going to be Yotze when you're Mashke, Barim Lebeso. So one second. So we said before, if you drink it all at once, you're not Yotze Yidei Arba Kosos. The Rif and the Rambam have a Girsa, a little different. We said you're yotze yidei yayin, but not arba kosos. The Rif and the Rambam gear say yidei cheirus yotze. The yotze cheirus. So that's what the Brisker Rav explains, that there are tzvei dinim over here. There's derech cheirus, that a person should eat and drink mesav derech cheirus, like the pasuk says with zecharta kevad yisav eretz misaim yotziyach ha'ashem elokach misham. And then there's drinking dal kosos al seder shetiknu chachamim, to do each kos together associated with a particular mitzvah of the night. So therefore, if you drank the yayin chai, so it's not delicious, it's not the way wine is meant to be drunk, you yotze the din of dalet kosos al aseder, but you're not yotze that inyan of cherus, because for it to be yotze that inyan of cherus, it has to be delicious to you, it has to be something that that is enjoyable to the person. So meisvei arba kosos al tzorek shiyeh ben kedei revius echad chai ve'echad mazug, you need a revius, whether it be diluted or undiluted, echad chadosh ve'echad yashan, whether it be new or aged wine, revius domer tzorek shiyeh bo tam umara yayin. It has to have both the taste and the look of wine. But katani miyas kedei revius, it says kedei revius v'adamer kos yafa. But you said you need a mezigas kos yafa. So which is it, a revius or a mezigas kos yafa? Says Gemara, who says those are different things? Amri idivi idi chachi uruhu. That means the same thing. Kedei mezigas kos yafa. Hainu revius. What is a mezigas kos yafa? That is a revius. Rabbi Yudamar Tzorek Shebo tam umara. That it has to have the tam and mara of yayin. Amar of my time Rabbi Yudah. Where does Rabbi Yudah get the idea of mara, that it has to have the mara of yayin d'chsiv, al teri yayin ki is adam, that wine is defined as being red, so you should dafka use red wine. There's machlokas rishonim whether kiddush requires dafka red wine or you're allowed to use white wine. We pass in the Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed to use white wine, but the Mishnah Berurah says that really best is a person should try to be makbid to use red wine for kiddush. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that his father, the Chacham Tzvi, used to be makbid on the Lela Seder to dafka use a glass and not a becher, not a silver cup. Because he wanted to see the yayin. Al tira yayin ki yisadam. You want to see the redness of the yayin. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up a Tan Rabbanan, four lines from the bottom of the page. Everyone have a great day. Sorry about the Zoom problem.